This would be of value. This is of interest. You know, this cat, man, I was recording something last night. All of a sudden, the audio goes, what the fuck happened? The board blow? She put her paw on the master and just knocked it down. Now, I'm relegated to this chair. You can see I'm a bit higher than you're used to seeing me. What's behind me? My usual chair. Guess who has that? Her ladyship took that over. She's just like, I'll take this one. Now she's looking around. She just had her dinner, and she's going to hop. There you go. Hop back up in your chair. Go on, Brea. Get up in your chair. Good girl. There she goes. She just flew right up there, man. Is the vet today says asked me, well, how's she doing? I go, looks like she's doing all right to me. Got a very interesting book today. Don't ask me why I ordered this fucking thing. I believe his name. I got to get into it. I can't really pronounce his name. This Pierpont, Alfred Pierpont. He was the British executioner from 1932 forward through World War II, through Nuremberg and the Nazi war crime trial. He stretched the neck of all those Nazis. And this is all in his fucking book. And it's interesting. It's not, he talks about his life. He comes from a long line of executioners. I'm not kidding you. His father, his uncle developed some special thing for the noose. And what's interesting about it is he's so human. He's a guy. He's like, yeah, you know, I went to the pub and he's married and he said, geez, I got a great wife because she doesn't ask me too many fucking questions. And he also is, at the end of his life, it was anti-capital punishment. He said, this is a fucking waste. I mean, there's a lot, very interesting man. But this is the guy that fitted the noose around the necks of Joseph Cromer, who was the goddamn commandant of Bergen-Belsen. He was a piece of shit. Irma Geis, who was the female Nazi guard that used to whip prisoners to death with a riding crop. Juana Bormann, the woman with the dogs, is what the prisoners called her. She set German shepherds loose on prisoners, just tear them to pieces with these German shepherds. Fritz Klein, who was the doctor at Bergen-Belsen, and when you talk about doctors in concentration camps, it ain't good. They're not there doling out aspirin, you know. And then he talks about, in civilian life, some of the people, and also a spy they captured. Get a load of this. This fucking German parachutes into Britain. Apparently they did a little bit of this in the war, and as soon as the British captured, and they captured just about all of them, they turned them. They turned them into double agents. Because why? Because fucking life in England was far better than it was in Germany. There's a whole goddamn story to be told about this submarine that dropped off five or six German spies on the coast in Florida, and these assholes got lost in America. They, you know, they didn't carry out the Fatherland's the Fatherland's instructions. You know, they got sidetracked with, I don't know, movie theaters and restaurants and shit. But anyway, so the Germans would do this. Well, there's one guy, Otto Schmidt, is the nom de plume. This is the name that he gives him. And this guy parachutes in. He is able to, you know, conceal himself, gets rid of his German uniform. Why the fuck would you parachute a guy in with a German fucking helmet with a swastika on it? What the fuck? Anyway, he buries all this shit. He has a change of clothing, of a British, English civilian. He's got something like 500 pounds and British notes, and he's got $1,000 in American. And a few other things, some food that'll last him a couple of days, because he's expected to stay hiding for a couple of days and then just sort of pop up out there on the heath, you know. And I don't think he was too far away from an inhabited area. And just walk along a country lane road and by his own wit and by his own guile, make his way into British life. And no sooner does he get dressed and pop out into the world, and he's walking down this road in his top coat. Looks like an Englishman. A guy rides his bike by him and says, can you help me? I'm lost. I'm looking for this road. Now, Schmidt knew all of this area because he had a map and he had studied the area intensively. So he knew. What's up, honey? Do you want your water? Brady, what do you want, huh? Just your water? There's all kinds of stuff. She's got like two bowls of food. She's got a big thing of water because she's got this kidney disease. We got bowls of water everywhere around here. This Englishman on a bicycle says, can you help me? And Schmidt knew the area. He had maps. He'd studied it. He could have helped him, but apparently he blew him off in a very rude manner. Now, ordinarily, you know, nowadays that probably wouldn't get most of us to alert a cop, but this guy was pissed. The guy on the bike was pissed, and he alerted a cop to this. This guy down here, I'm looking for, you know, this place, and this guy just tells me to piss off. And the cop was suspicious, because why would you not assist a man who is looking for a place when it's twilight, when it's about to get dark? But this was the attitude and the manner of the British in World War II. So this guy just ran afoul. And so he was a free man in England for whatever it was, the two nights that he slept. And then he changes into this clothes. He walks down this lane about 100 yards. He's busted. He's busted. Because he was wearing civilian clothing, he was considered to be a spy. And that is death. That you don't fuck with that. That's, you're dead. He could have been taken prisoner. If he'd been in his German uniform, he could have conceivably been taken prisoner and lived the whole goddamn war in a prisoner of war camp. But he wasn't. He was dressed as an English civilian. So, long story short, he was executed. And this guy, Pierpont, tells the story because this man, he met him, you know, before he executed him. And the guy was an asshole. He's just right up to his fucking death. He was a fucking prick. He was just an asshole. And I suppose you know, you're not going to be the happiest guy if you know you're going to die. But he started out his sojourn there in England as a dickhead. How did you start your sojourn in England?
As a dickhead.
Well, you know, that's a good girl. Now you're laying there, you're chilling out. Yeah, good girl. If I can get her to just stay there, then I don't have to worry about her popping up onto this goddamn thing, because this is no good, man. There's no room up here. I'll be a motherfucker. How do you like that? I got more. There are more phone chargers in this motherfucking place. I can't find any of them. And of course, the ones they sell you at the gas station are the biggest pieces of shit. Fundraising. I get these emails. Money, 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 money. I would love to give you guys more money. I've given you my max, man. I can't. I think a couple of grand. I'm serious. A couple of grand. And that's a lot. And that's it. And I donated it early on. You know, when they were trying to take that congressional seat, they were trying to flip that seat in Georgia. I think I gave money to Doug Jones. But I think most of the bread that I gave in this, in these special elections, we lost. You know, the blue lost. Hey, I did what I could. Lauren Moss. Okay, so those are two auditions. I think you had enough to eat. You had a lot of water. You're just bugging me is what you're doing. You just want me to hang out with you. Can't do it. Can't do it, girl. I can't hang out with you right now. I wish I could, but I can't, you know. Mrs. Doubtfire, what? What is this? The cast of Mrs. Doubtfire reunited. I wanted to see it. More worthless news. Twitter has more worthless fucking news in their U.S. trends and their what's happening. Who gives a fuck? Why don't you guys just... I guess this is a way of making money, man. This is where they lay sponsorships. Sinead O'Connor converts to Islam and adopts the name Shuhada David. Father McCorders is going to say something about that. I can't get that fucking song out of my mind. Deep in the eyes of a New York woman. I discovered it. I remembered the song came out when I was in high school, and it's a B.J. Thomas, who was a big singer, had about three or four hit records in the late 60s. The most famous one was Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head, that guy. Well, he had a couple of hits. He had one called Hooked on a Feeling. And he had this one called The Eyes of a New York Woman, and it is the catchiest fucking song. And it has that sitar guitar. You know what I'm talking about? The sitar was popular. The sound of the sitar, the Indian stringed instrument, became popular with the Maharishi, Ravi Shankar, and these guys that came over to the United States from India, that they developed a guitar that mimicked the sound of a sitar. And you hear it pop up in records. I think you still hear it pop up in records today. Yeah, in fact, there's that Swing Out Sister version of Am I the Same Girl, and their guitarist plays one of those. Anyway, who gives a flying fuck? So Harvey's standing in traffic. That's what he's doing. And Father McCorders is waiting for a plane to go to San Francisco. Okay, good. Yeah, Bieber, he's fucking up. This burrito-eating photograph of Justin Bieber, He's eating this fucking burrito like it's a watermelon slice.
The eyes of a New York woman.
We also have to have General Shaw give me a load of shit for Arse Gardner. They just thought he sucked. And he really did kind of suck. Especially, I heard that he got away with. I mean, that it's just, as soon as I heard that, I went, ah, fuck. That just fucked the whole goddamn show up. The fact that he got away with saying and it wasn't even referenced. I almost called my crew up. I almost called Nate up and said, can you pull that off of the feed and let's put a temporary one up so I can cut that out? But I said, fuck it. And it was well into the workday. And it, you know, your fault, Henry. Next time you cook up something like that, Henry, you know, make sure that you got your shit together. What the fuck is with the Dolphins anyway? What is their problem? The great days are over? Is that it? Okay. You know, Shula, then Jimmy Johnson, and then Dave Wannstedt. Wasn't Wannstedt there? And then I don't know anybody that was there. I was in Miami during the tail end of the Don Shula era. We were the flagship station, and it was one of the most amazing things you've ever seen in your life. We were the flagship station for the Miami Dolphins, and we were harassing them. We were giving them shit. We were you don't do that if you're the flagship for a sports team. You're not allowed to, anyway. That's why if you listen to a sports talk show on a team's flagship, the host will always soft pedal news about the team. They will never allow any real strong criticism unless, you know, they don't give a shit whether they carry the fucking team or not. That was their Dan Marino, but forget it. They just didn't have it. They didn't have the horses, man. Marino was a great quarterback. One of the great quarterbacks. Fran Tarkenton, Dan Marino. Who are the great quarterbacks that didn't win Super Bowls? Those are the two that come to my mind. Fran Tarkenton, Dan Marino. I don't. Wait. No, shut up. No. Fran Tarkenton, Dan Marino. I was going to say Elway, but Elway wound up winning Super Bowls. He lost a fucking lot of Super Bowls, but shit. Yeah, that's an interesting question.
What's up, baby? What do you need, honey? Do you need water? You just want Pops to pet you? What's going on there, huh? What you doing, babe?
Brea, you got everything you need right here, honey. She's got dry food. She's got wet food. She's got two huge bowls of water. I mean, that's top-notch cat cuisine. You can't buy that shit in the best cat restaurant. You have to call ahead to have them fix that shit up special, you know, in order for you to get the top premium dry food and the wet food. You know what this is? It's renal support food. But more to the point is it's this veterinarians and veterinary science has determined that the best meat that a cat can eat, I'm being serious.
There she is.
The best meat that a cat can eat. Rabbit, I shit you not, rabbit, venison, and duck. Now, what is that about, man? That means that the early wildcats that our domesticated cats were bred from were, obviously, they lived in places where that was abundant. Yeah, I know the desert, the African wildcat, they say, is the main source of the domesticated cat. But there is the European wildcat, and I mentioned the Scottish wildcat the other day. But that's pretty interesting, isn't it? I mean, so this is where cats... maybe going way, 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 way fucking back, like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of years, maybe millions of years, when cats were like the size of this room. I'm just kidding. I don't know. So they got duck. They got venison. They got the whole thing going on, man. I had to call ahead special. I'm kidding. Brea, that is top notch, man. Why, this is some of the finest... this is some of the finest cat food in the world.
What's up, baby? I don't know. What do you want, man?
I don't know what you want, dude, but there's your food. There's your water. I'm going to put her right here. Usually when she's meowing like that, she wants water. She looked around the room like, was there anything more interesting? Nah. So she's drinking the water. But I told the vet says, like, she's dingy, man. Cat senility is very rare. That's literally what this vet said. Well, okay. I mean, but she's like dingy. She'll be staring at a wall. I'll go, Brea, Brea. Brea! And I'm like, oh, hey, how you doing? Yeah, really? Maybe your hearing's fucked up. That's possible. Anyway, so, General Shaw, I got a loud chair here, don't I? David Hall is, maybe he's at a dance club. I don't know why it is, but I think that fucking Return of the Mac phone bed is one of the funniest goddamn things I've ever heard in my life. The fuck? every goddamn guest, the guy could be like a general in the Burmese army, and he's got Return of the Mac on. He could be here. David's at a restaurant. Maybe he's at Ted's.
Yeah, Phil, I'm at Ted's of Beverly Hills. Now look, I don't want to fuck around with this. You know where I'm coming from, right, Phil? You understand where I'm coming from?
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from.
Okay, that was an abomination before God and man.
Oh man, Ted Bell here. Look, I don't want to get involved in your, as the kids say, I don't want to jump into your shit.
Excuse the language, Phil.
I'm sorry, Phil. I thought the digital.
We do want to try and.
All right. Well, forget it then.
And then I got these Chewies, man. These babies are for her stomach, and they're chew. You know, they're like supposedly cats dig them. No, not this one. So I got to mash them up and put them in the food. This is an insanity project. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. How come there's very little? Oh, I see. Test 1, 2, 3. Testing. Test. Man, we're knocking the shit out of those DBs.
Right, Phil. Let's just talk. Let's talk turkey, okay? Let's talk a little turkey. Because I got to tell you.
And
that cat. What's with the cat knocking the. Did the cat knock the master?
Talk much?
Hey, I'm having a...
Dad, Mr. Hall, gotta be able to talk.
Look at Dickman, you're of all people.
Well, what's the problem, Hall?
What's the problem, Hall?
Deep in the eyes. David Hall and... I make that mistake a lot of times.
Well, Phil, yeah, hi, this is Harvey Wireman, Phil, and
You know, Harvey Wireman's like... Sounds a lot like...
David G. Hall, and this is Harvey Wireman. Well, we sound alike. You sound like an older version of me.
Yeah, pretty much that's Phil's range, though. You know, he just takes a voice and tries to use it every goddamn way he can. God damn, Henry. Talk about cheap.
What do you mean cheap?
You take a voice and work it to death.
Get rid of this. Well, who would be better? Who would be better? Who would be better? I don't know. Hello? Hello? Test 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Test 1, 2, 3, you know. Test 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Test 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I used to run the goddamn master all the fucking way up to the top of the goddamn, right up to the top of the module, you know. Test 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Test, 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 test. And I used to get the little bit of fucking. Test 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Fuck it. So David's over at Ted's of Beverly Hills. And maybe we're going to kill two birds with one stone. Guess fucking what, man? That goddamn thing. This is exactly why we want to use the TriCaster as a second audio source. Just for this moment that I'm looking at right now. It's fucking Ted's of Beverly Hills and the crowd sound effect or the kitchen restaurant sound effect. This is exactly why I want to use this motherfucker, you know? So I think what I'll do is I want to roll this fucking thing on a loop, which will be the kitchen, and I'll use Ted here. That's what I gotta do, man! Needs a new mouse. You lied to me. Testing 1, 2. Yeah, baby. Yeah. The difference between this old TriCaster and this new one. The old TriCaster appears to have a few more bells and whistles, but it serves only to piss the whole fucking machine off. It has those virtual studios that I used to use. Remember those? But at the end of the goddamn day, I found that they had limited value.
I found that they had limited value, you see. Now then, you see, they had limited value.
This is going to be a slightly longer pre-show than usual. Most of our pre-shows are under 30 minutes. This is going to be, well, maybe under 30 minutes.
All right, see, now, here's the thing, man. Where do I go to find this shit?
Old TriCaster. Why do I not hear it? What's going on here, man? I can't hear shit. Wow, man, that is really fucking low. I don't think that's... Ha ha ha! the one, man. That's the fucking one. That's a beautiful thing. All right, so I got that, and I just got to use the thing. So,
you see, man, it works out. It works fucking out.
Hello, test.